Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Wichita's number one talk, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Well, welcome back to the John Whitmer Show. That sickening feeling you may be having in your gut right now is the potential of a billion-dollar tax increase that some are pushing in order to fund the Wichita Riverfront Plan. Joining us now to discuss this is Gloria Van Reese from The Sentinel. Gloria, thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you so much for having me, John.
So, you know, you reported that Wichita City officials acknowledge that upwards of $1 billion in public money is going to be needed in order to fund the Wichita Riverfront Development Plan, depending on which plan they go with. And they won't rule out the possibility of a tax increase to pay for this, correct?
No. Well, here's kind of back that up a little bit. This is one thing that anyone following this master plan process is that it started out with pretty much a problem being created, the problem of what to do with Century 2. So as that has kind of morphed over time, they now come back saying, hey, we have this big problem, but we have this awesome solution for you.
Yeah, awesome solution.
Oh, by the way, in the fine print. Exactly. And oh, by the way, in the fine print, we found out about 10 days ago that the price tag ranges for the scenarios between $970 million to $1.5 billion.
Well, and
so
the...
then,
sorry, go ahead.
So then as we take that a step further and talk to city officials, well, you know, do you guys actually want this and how are you going to pay for this? You know, this is something that at the Sentinel we've been asking since day one, you know, who's going to pay for it and how much is it going to cost? And one thing we constantly hear is, oh, well, we're not at that step yet. We're not at that point yet to figure out the cost and who's going to pay for it. And this just has a lot of people scratching their head because, you know, in my household, when I need a big ticket item, I save up for it or I don't get it. I don't, you know, go out and, you know, get it and then try and figure out how to pay for it.
Right. Or at least you budget for it.
Get that. Exactly.
Yeah.
Or you budget for it. And yet here's this big problem being created that a lot of people are scratching their head going, is this actually a problem?
Well, and here's what I loved about your article. You quote Councilman Brandon Johnson in the article, and he says, quote, the final plan, costs, and recommendations will all be released publicly so that our citizens can have a robust conversation about the future of our riverfront, unquote. That sure sounds to me like once the council has made the final decision, then they're going to release the plan so the public can complain about it. But that doesn't sound it doesn't sound like an open and transparent dialogue during the process to me. Am I wrong?
I don't think you're wrong. A lot of this process so far has been, we want to hear feedback. We want to hear what you guys want to see on that property. The verbiage of the questions being asked is very specific. It's very nuanced. It's, tell us what you want to see on the property, not,
do you want a tax increase? Right, yeah, thank
exactly.
you. Not, do you?
Exactly.
Should we do it? Is it necessary? Do you want to spend the money? Should we raise your taxes? That, you're exactly right. Johnson does not indicate the plan would go. I mean, he does. He finally admits in the article, you quote him as saying, yeah, it would go to a public vote. But, you know, he has no say in that. I mean, that since it involves a tax increase, the law requires it to go to a public vote. So it's like he's taking the high ground and saying, well, it'll go to the people. Of course it'll go to the people, Brandon. You have no say in that.
But it's also a billion-dollar price tag, you know.
Right.
The water facility is like upwards of $500 million, probably going to end up costing $700 million, maybe even a billion. And people are having a hard time swallowing that. And yet here we have something that's not a necessity in life. per se, quote unquote,
right,
that is going to cost $1 billion. So I think the price tag, once people find out the price tag, they're like, well, wait, excuse me, what? Sorry,
right.
What?
Well, and I like what you did there. The water plan, they're not going to have a hard time swallowing it. I like that. But, I mean, I remember when they did Intrust Bank, and that was, I can't remember. I'm probably wrong, $300 million or $500 million, something. It was in that range. And that was a sales tax, and it was on, and it was sunsetted. But this is, mm-hmm. this whole thing, once again, feels like it's kind of, you know, they're getting the cart before the horse. I don't think, it's like you've said, I don't think they've asked the fundamental question is, do you want your taxes increased to pay for this? Here's the other thing about this that bothers me. You report one possibility indicates that the city is considering owning the office space, hotel, and apartments that would put them in direct competition with private sector taxpayers who would be footing the bill. How do they justify that?
This is what a lot of people have been saying, oh, a lot, you know, bigger cities are doing this. It's a mixed-use public-private partnership. But the economic engine for the city to be able to afford to maintain what would potentially be going in there that would not be such as parks and green space and things like that, they need a way to actually pay for that. Because they're already potentially getting a tax increase to put it in play to begin with. So how do you maintain it? And one of those ways is to actually have an office complex that the city would own and operate, or potentially create one of those sweetheart deals for a management company or a developer to come in and handle for them. But one thing we know when it comes to office space is that the city can actually put office space on the market cheaper than what actual landlords can do because they get it tax-free. They get a big, sweet tax break on that.
Well, and here's another question. How is owning parks, well, parks I get, but how is owning office space, hotels, and apartments in direct competition with the private sector part of the essential function of government or even the proper role of government? That's my issue here. Whether or not you support the idea, that's not the proper function. I mean, come on. No offense to the folks who work at the DMV, and actually our DMV. I can't pick on them because our DMV down here is pretty darn good. But when was the last time government did anything efficiently, and now you want to give them the ability to build, own, and manage hotels, apartments, and office space? That's not the role of government. That's not the function of government. Mm-hmm. Why would they? I mean, I don't know. The whole thing is asinine, if you ask me.
Well, it's also creating competition, like you said, where, you know, if I'm looking to rent office space, I'm probably going to go with the cheaper price, which the city can offer.
Right.
So you're automatically creating an advantage. But then also when you get also, let's say hypothetically, they went and created a contract and gave it to somebody to manage the property, so the city isn't doing it directly. Again, you're creating favoritism where there is none in the marketplace.
Right. Well, and once again, picking winners and losers. Gloria, thank you for joining us again this evening and drawing our attention to the story. We've shared it on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page, but if people want to read the article itself, want more information, where can they go for that?
They can go to our homepage. It is sentinelksmo.org.
Perfect. I appreciate you. Thank you again for coming on this evening, Gloria. I appreciate you coming on. Before we sign off, I want to give you a little tease. Coming up next week, Ronan Farrow, the guy from The New Yorker who broke the story on one of Hollywood's biggest producers, Harvey Weinstein, will be with us. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show. Carry on, my friends.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.